It's Monday, July 16th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, show number 782, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our July special, Get.coms, for just $4.95. That's the best deal on the planet, folks. Purchase up to three domains. Use code 495GEEK. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, folks, you know what comes next? And I tell you, there almost wasn't a show tonight. And I'm going to tell you how I recovered, and I'm only, as of this moment, 22 minutes late to start the show. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right. I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to encourage you, of course, to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all our great content. Really, when you're over at the website, it's a piece of cake to stay connected with the show. All you got to do is subscribe. It's right there in the second column of the website. You'll find it in all of our shows. You'll be able to get subscribed real easy. Of course, get subscribed to our newsletter as well, so that you get all the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. Well, tonight was a show that almost wasn't, or it would have been a major abridged show. I basically got back with the family and kids at about 6 tonight. Had done a little pre-work earlier today. Had seen a couple of articles. Of course, you know I should start the show at 7. So I sat down in front of this machine right here in front of me and did a couple of things, and just all of a sudden the lights went out, and I'm like, what happened? And so you know the power was still on, but the machine was froze. And so I reached down and did the old one finger salute, reset the thing, and it didn't come back, and it basically gave me a disk error message, and I'm thinking, I just blew a drive. Now, you guys know I've talked about in the past about having drives here ready to go. I was a little bit panicked because this machine has a pretty large drive, and I didn't know if I had a 2 terabyte drive or not. I opened up the drawer and dug down through, and about the third drive I pulled out was, lo and behold, a 2 terabyte drive. So it took me a little bit to get this thing out from underneath here. Got it tore apart, sucked the dirt out of it, of course. Meanwhile, tick-tock, the clock is running, you know, before the show's ready. Got the new drive in it, slapped it in, put it back together, and lo and behold, I mean, I couldn't have timed it perfectly. I have a folder back there with a disk, and it was the Windows Home Server Recovery Disk. Dropped it in the DV drive and pushed the power button and basically crossed my fingers. Within about 5 minutes, the machine was pulling its backup from 2 o'clock in the morning last night down to the machine. And so at that, basically what I did then is I shifted to another computer, continued to do my show prep, getting everything ready. About 30 to 40 minutes later, the machine was ready, rebooted, and just, I'm not kidding you, literally less than 35 or 40 minutes ago, this machine's back to life. Get everything loaded. Get the show notes up. And it's only 8:22 and we're live. So there must be some God looking upon me favorably tonight. I just can't imagine doing that twice in a row. But everything's good, and I am here and ready in living color, and everything's just the way it should be. So that's good. So if you're new to the show, hey, thanks for being here, being part of the family. Of course, if you're part of the Ohana in Honolulu, or here in Hawaii, excuse me, means family. I want to welcome you to the family of listeners and viewers of this show. Thanks for being here. I really appreciate that you are. I want to give a big shout out to Sam Garcia, one of our Ohana members in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Those of you that are watching the video, we got a new dinosaur mascot. And literally, there's a dinosaur on the Ohanosaurus Skype machine. And for those of you that watch our Saturday morning tech show, you'll know that we use the two machines over here, which are run on Mac Minis, to bring in our callers and bring in our guests. And we have them live. And then the rest of the time, it's just a background screen. So Sam was nice enough to put up it's awesome. It's growing on me. Initially, I'll be honest, Sam, when I first saw it, I was kind of like, didn't know how I felt, but he matched the colors of the show, of my logos and everything else. So that's up. I think, what we're going to do is just, we'll play with this. And if anyone else has album art they want to submit, we'll put them up from time to time. But for now, the Ohanosaurus, it's got its new album art in the back. I think it's definitely different, and will at least if people don't want to watch me, they can look at the album art. And for those of you on the video, I'll actually show you guys the top. Let me bring this down. There's the top of the screen, and then there's the bottom screen. So, and we got a pair of glasses, and of course, for those of you that don't know what Sam did here, was he used some of the graphics that he's used in our Cafe Press store at cafepress.com/Ohana store, O-H-A-N-A store. It's a place where you can pick up t-shirts, keychains, mugs, you name it. We've got it over there. Shirts, jackets, hats with GNC logo wear. So you definitely can check that out. But anyway, so he took some of those elements, pretty cool, and adopted it. And I think it looks great. Of course, if you're catching the show, if you want to catch the show later, you can do so via our tech podcast channel on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV. Of course, you can reach out to me here at the show real easy on Twitter at Geek News. The email address is geeknews@gmail.com. And of course, our hotline is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 619-342-7365. It's been a very quiet summer. I'm beginning to wonder if the hotline has outlived its usefulness, because it's been pretty quiet. And so anyway, I'm just at this point trying to make a decision whether or not we continue the hotline from a utilization standpoint or not. But anyway, definitely it's available there for you to check out. Now, what I want to share with you tonight is a new promotion I have going on here with GoDaddy. And this one's awesome, folks. I mean, it really is. And what we're going to do is we're going to hook you up with the absolute best deal. I mean, try to find a better deal on .coms. Just go look around, see what you can find. But this special offer, you get .coms for $4.95 per year. You can get up to three at this pricing, okay? And then additional .coms are just $7.99. So that's still a great deal. But if you're looking to pick up some domains, just $4.95 per year up to three domains. So I noticed the other day that GoDaddy redid their website. So they got all kinds of basically easier navigation on here. You can look over the domain stuff. You can look over website hosting. And of course, we've got great promotions for web hosting as well. And I've got, you can basically view their different services they have available. They've got the website builders as well. They've got servers and cloud servers. So definitely check that out over at GoDaddy.com. Don't forget, all of my promo codes are available at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. They're real easy to find on the website. And you basically, we've got all the codes over there, okay? Everything that's going to save you a lot of money on every occasion, whether you be buying an SSL certificate, whether you just want some money off on a purchase. And really, it starts using the codes I have currently. You use the NAB code to get 25% off on shared hosting plans. You can get cash back off of your purchases, are actually, if you have $75 or more in purchases, you use like the code Aloha, they give you an immediate $20 savings. So definitely check out all the promo codes. And one thing I will say, the folks over at GoDaddy and I had a discussion earlier in the week. We're going to be bringing you some new promotions. We're working on some great deals for you. I'm trying to get a package deal together for you as well. So I don't know if they're going to be able to fully do that, but I'm basically looking to get something where you get one, two, or three things at a great savings. So keep our fingers crossed, see if they're able to put that together instead of having these just one onesie, twosie types offers and so forth. But definitely check out, again, visit geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Share the codes with your friends, family members, people that you know. Tell them to use my codes, and it really helps us here. Keeps the lights on, keeps us in business, keeps my family fed. And I do appreciate GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central, and look forward to having them on for a long time. Okay, let me go ahead and switch gears here a little bit. Our Geek News Central Insider promotion is continuing. I'm not going to go into that too much on this show. We talked a little bit about it on the last show. So we'll be giving away some prizes here in the coming weeks when we hit certain thresholds of money being raised on the Insider. Again, you don't have to donate to the show to win. All you really have to do is send an email to the show and basically say support the GNC show on your subject line, and that automatically gets something close to that, and that gets you entered in the contest automatically to win. Of course, those of you that contribute as well, we appreciate your support through the geeknewscentral.com/insider program. And got 25, 26 lots left to give away of cool prizes. And hopefully we'll hit a threshold at some point here in the next couple of shows to be able to give away the next lot. But your support is greatly appreciated. Okay, let me go ahead here and switch gears. We'll get into the tech tonight. I already chatted way too long here on what's going on. But lots of stuff going on in tech news. I'm just reading through and making sure I got everything. Yes, I got that. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, I did all my obligatory stuff. Of course, I'm just destroying the English language as usual tonight. One thing I didn't get tonight before I started the show was my Red Bull. So I hopefully I don't fade here in tonight quickly. Hopefully I can hang on and keep the power up for you. So one thing that's always driven me completely insane is on the iPhone, you know, it'd be so nice sometimes if I could just stick a memory stick in it, right? And those of you that are on Droids, many of your phones have, you know, mini SD cards and stuff, but the iPhone, you know, Steve Jobs and his vision was, you know, anything that you can plug into this thing, it's going to change the look and feel. But, you know, so I'm kind of looking at this point. I've got a couple of phones I'm thinking about maybe moving to. Maybe it's time to move off the iOS platform just because of some of the things I've seen recently. And one of the things I learned about Windows 8 today was that the Windows Phone 8 will have a USB mass storage support. So basically what you're going to be able to do is you're going to be able to plug this phone into your computer to transfer files like you would normally. And they've got a removable SD support as well as part of the platform. So basically you'll be able to go from the PC to the phone and vice versa, or connect it direct. You know, I really think that the SD card, being able to put different types of things on it, just works better. You know, you stick that in your computer, you can transfer over some files, boom, you pop it out and go, and you just stick it in your phone and you're done. Or into your mobile, you know, into a tablet or whatever it may be. I think that just sometimes works better, because oftentimes I'm trying to pull stuff into my iPad and I'm just like pulling my hair out, you know, trying to pull in a PowerPoint presentation or a PDF or whatever it may be. Obviously not a PowerPoint, but a PDF, you know, whatever I'm going to use for a presentation document. And it's just, you know, it's not neat. It really isn't. So I'm really looking forward to having a device here soon where it's just a little bit easier to move media around. And, you know, granted, you know, I like the wireless stuff. I like the cloud stuff. Don't, you know, that's not the whole point here. But sometimes if the file's too big, it's just a logistics enhancement to be able to make it happen quickly and without having to wait around and be frustrated about something, you know, not getting the cloud and vice versa. So we will continue to watch this, and I'll keep you guys advised on my phone basically searching. And it's probably going to be a Droid. I would just about bet that's where I'm going to go. All right, let's talk about a blog post that was put up on Comcast, and this is quite lengthy. And As I read through this tonight, I was really trying to decipher the agenda of Comcast. And I have to make an apology here. On the last show, I talked about the Viacom and DirecTV dispute that was going on. And I made a mistake in saying, you know, basically that Viacom was having to pay DirecTV. And it's just the opposite. DirecTV pays Viacom for the rights to have the media. And so I think my thought process on that whole dispute, you know, is tempered somewhat because we know the cost of everything in the world is going up. You guys look at what you're paying for groceries, for gas, and the ability to create media is not an inexpensive proposition. You know, you look at the delivery of this show alone digitally, the sponsors, as far as the video goes, the sponsors barely cover the actual cost of the delivery. Maybe sometimes I'm in the hole. The audio programming for the show really carries the delivery costs are so much smaller on the audio portion. So, you know, I look at these things and I understand what the media creators up against. You know, they're paying salaries, they're paying folks that are represented by unions. They're doing they have actors and royalties and all this stuff that these big media companies that are making these serialized television shows, the amount of money they have to outlay is incredible. So, you know, as much as I am a big new media fan and love new media programming, I watch a lot of new media stuff. I watch, you know, probably 90% of the stuff I watch is people creating content, and I'm looking for ideas and, you know, trying to improve not only this show, but learn stuff for Raw Voice and when we're working with our clients. So, but I also understand the cost of doing business. You know, I understand the cost of doing business is high. And none of us want higher cable bills. I think we can all agree to that. So, you know, my feelings are still mixed on what I think about Viacom basically demanding more money from DirecTV because they're trying to hold the cost down too. So it's a give and take type thing. But I think it rolls back into this Comcast article saying, time to rethink program carriage regulation. And I want to read their first paragraph. They say, and I quote, "The government does not and cannot tell the Washington Post what columns to carry or what sections of the paper to put them in." Although I think the Washington Post does a lot of posting for the political parties that they like. So anyway, they're going to hear. So it tells the Washington Post what columns to carry or what sections of the paper to put them in or what days of the week to run them. It doesn't tell Amazon what books to sell or to recommend to its customers. It doesn't dictate what films Netflix licenses or features. It doesn't specify which TV shows should be available on Hulu and which should be on Hulu Plus. Now, they're basically saying that the government doesn't tell those businesses how to run their businesses, what to carry, what to sell, and so forth. But at the same time, those companies, Amazon, Hulu, Netflix, they're not serving what I would call in the public interest. They are businesses that are, and I think there's a difference between the two, because when you have a cable provider and they're providing a service, as much as they say that they're operating in the public interest, many of them are controlled or regulated by the public utilities commissions in each cities. You know, Dish folks, they're obviously doing their own thing. They're not necessarily regulated by public utilities, but to a certain extent they are, because local programming, stuff that comes in over the air, is oftentimes put into cable. So they want some deregulation and carriage regulation. And I have to really think about, okay, what's their agenda here? Because remember, they purchased, well, it's not MSNBC anymore. It's NBC Universal that they, you know, produced that property, bought that property. And You know, Congress passed a statute nearly 20 years ago that gave the FCC a limited role in overseeing program carriage decisions of cable operators. The basic rules were simple. Pay TV distributors can't demand equity or exclusivity in exchange for carriage, in other words, being allowed to have the stuff on. Nor can they discriminate on the basis of ownership in a manner that unreasonably prevents an unaffiliated programmer from competing failure. In other words, they have to be able to let all these groups, Viacom, ESPN, all these groups have to be able to get into those systems, and they have to play fairly. Now, there was a ruling made against Comcast earlier in the year talking about their carriage, their carriage or coverage, or basically adding it to their program lineup of a tennis channel. So basically what the judge says is you have to carry this. You have to carry this channel. And they didn't necessarily want to. And if they did, they wanted to put it in a different section that basically was going to be a premium offering. So, you know, if they're going to pay the tennis channel, they had to make it so that they could recoup enough money to pay the per subscriber cost. And basically, the court ruled that it had to go into like their basic offering or whatever, because Comcast had all this NBC Universal sports stuff that the judge basically said, hey, you're going to put your stuff in here in the basic cable package. You need to lay the tennis channel on top. So really what's going on here is Comcast is saying that they're proud to offer customers lots of choices with multiple networks to watch, but they also want more freedom to be able to say no to someone. I think this is what they're saying. And it goes, if you read through this, you can make a case saying, well, we're going to win because it's going to bring our cable bill down. And I think anything we've seen the cable companies do, the cable bill has never went down, ever. It's never went down. It's always went up. If anybody can show me a decreasing cable bill over the past 20 years, please email me a copy of it from 20 years ago. They haven't. They went up, right? Even if you're carrying the same exact lineup you've had probably for 20 years. I'm not saying everyone's done that, but a lot of people have the same package you've carried for years and years and years. So I don't know. You know, what is the goal here? Is the goal here is that they want NBC Universal stuff on because they're an owner in that. They want to be able to exclude the tennis channel or put that into a premium spot. And to me, that means unfair competition, right? Because not only are they a cable provider, but they also have media that they own that they have to carry, or they do carry. So I don't know enough about this to make a complete opinion on this at this point. But anytime a cable company tells me that their goal is to lower our bills and give us more choice, I really have to put my boots on, my waders on, because the floor is going to start flowing with BS. So I guess if any of you that are out here are part of the Ohana that have some insight into this carriage regulation, am I on the mark here or am I off? I'll have the link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. But this post was posted by the president of Comcast/NBC Universal. And I'm sure this has been lawyered to death and rewrote by the PR people and blah, blah, blah. So I think it just ties back to everything we've been seeing here recently. Are they worried that they're being forced to carry stuff that they don't want to, and it's going to force people to cut the cable? Is that why they want carriage deregulation? Now, they don't say deregulation, say rethink program carriage regulation. That means deregulation. But love to hear you guys' feedback on this. So drop me a line, geeknews@gmail.com. Did you guys know there's a protest going on online right now? Did you know that the largest BitTorrent trackers have went offline in protest? Well, I don't do any peer-to-peer stuff, and didn't even hear about this. So I guess it isn't that big a news, but our good friends over at torrentfreak.com have got a great article here about this. And let me bring this up for you. Apparently, Open BitTorrent and Public BitTorrent, the two largest BitTorrent trackers on the internet, are currently on strike. Both trackers have went offline to protest the unresponsiveness of the folks at uTorrent. Now, uTorrent is, of course, created and supported by the folks at BitTorrent Incorporated. But they've been asked, the folks over at uTorrent have been asked to introduce a simple protocol enhancement that essentially is going to save those non-profit trackers literally thousands of dollars. And the owners of those sites come back and said, hey, this small change that you can make to uTorrent will literally save us thousands upon thousands of dollars each month. So they basically took their torrent trackers off because they're saying, hey, you're not complying. You're not listening to what's going on and changes in the space. Now, since they went offline, I guess they got a lot of people's attention here. And I, again, I'm not a big user of BitTorrent when it comes to peer-to-peer stuff. But BitTorrent has told Torrent Freak that they are working on a short-term fix to resolve this issue. So does this mean they're going to update uTorrent? I don't know. But for those of you that are in deep on peer-to-peer stuff, it basically involves the call. Instead of doing an HTTP call to the tracker, they're doing UDP-only request, which gives a little bit higher privacy and some other things as well, but also lowers the amount of traffic, I guess. And so anyway, I have the link in the show notes. Definitely check this out for those of you that are using peer-to-peer. Hey, Office 2013 has dropped today, and basically everyone's got a hold of it, and they're doing reviews. So here's the word on the street. If you're running Windows XP or Windows Vista, sorry, there is going to be no Office 2013 upgrade path for you. And that's, to me, is kind of surprising here. The software is only going to work on Windows 7 and Windows 8. So I think that's a big move with Vista not being supported. And we know that Office 2010, which was released in June of 2010, included support for both Windows XP and Windows Vista. So that's the end of the line for you guys on those operating systems. So if you want to go to 13, you're going to have to upgrade to Windows 7 or Windows 8. Now, Office 2013 has a lot of on-demand features if you want to. Now, what you can do is use the Office 365 Home Premium subscription. Now, here's the deal on this, okay? You're going to get, you have to pay a fee each month to get the Office Home Premium subscription. It'll allow as many as 5 machines in your home to use Office online. Now, I'm going to warn you, okay, if you are offline or if you are on a slow internet connection, my advice is not to go with the Office 365 solution where you're basically using Office online versus using it through a typical install. So I want you to really look at that before you make the jump. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are poo-pooing the online stuff. You know, I had the chance when I upgraded my Adobe Premiere and some of the modules that I own in Adobe, I had the option of going on a month-to-month program. I did the math or paying for the upgrade. Now, the upgrade was $299 or $399, and I would much rather pay for an upgrade and have the software physically on, and with Adobe, you can put it on 2 machines. So I have one on my MacBook Pro and one on my Mac Pro. And I'm able to use both, you know, if I need to. And I just like that better than paying a monthly fee. If I knew what my cost was going to be up front, if I decide when they come out with the next version of Premiere, if I decided I wasn't going to update, I could wait a year, miss a cycle, and still probably get a good upgrade price on a future software product. But the cost of the money that I would have been spent in between now and that upgrade time, it didn't make a lot of sense from a cost perspective. So just math it out. Be real careful, okay? Now, this new version puts emphasis on subscriptions. And here's how the does he give me pricing? I mean, look at this. It doesn't. It says that. Okay. Well, it didn't tell me a price. You're going to be able to buy Office 365 Enterprise, Office 365 Pro Plus, which is for those of you that have a small business. You get up to 25 user accounts. Office 365 Small Business Premium. This gives you 10 employees, which includes Word, PowerPoint, Excel, Outlook, OneNote, Access, Publisher, InfoPath, and Link. Every user can install Office on up to every user that can install Office on up to 5 PCs. Then there's Office 365 Home Premium, can be installed on up to 5 PCs and comes with 20 gigs of SkyDrive storage. It includes Word, PowerPoint, Excel, Outlook, OneNote, Access, and Publisher. And this version also comes with 60 minutes of Skype credit per month. So there's a little bonus there to try to entice you to make the move. But again, I think that I'm going to stick with the software version. Those of you that are Mac users, Office for Mac is basically going to stay at 2011 version for now. You'll get SkyDrive with an update, and Office 365 will be available on launch, but not the full version. So you're going to get some of the online version capabilities as well. So that's an interesting move for those of you that are on Mac users. That story is still developing. We'll see where it goes. All right, how many of you invested in a Mac.com address or a me.com address? You know, can you trust Apple to give you a address anymore? Well, they're introducing a iCloud.com address. So new users and those just activating mail will get the new iCloud.com address. Forget that Mac. Excuse me, forget Mac.com or even at me.com. So I don't get it. You know, does that mean everyone that's got a at Mac.com address is going to lose it? So be aware of this. Says if you have an existing at me.com address from MobileMe that has already been used with the iOS 6 Beta 3, you'll receive an iCloud address that matches the one you were using previously. So, you know, I don't know about this. Now, apparently, in an update on this article, they're saying that the at mac.com address will continue to function despite the switch to at me.com at the launch of MobileMe. And this will probably extend to the at iCloud.com address as well. You know, here's my advice. Just go out and get a gmail.com or yourdomain.com address. You guys know that, right? When you go out and buy a GoDaddy domain and it's got yourdomain.com, you can have addresses. It's just like I have geek at geeknewscentral.com that I use, or all my other domains can have email addresses tied to them. I don't need that many, believe me. Geeknews at Gmail is the one we promote here. But there's definitely ways to, there's definitely ways to get your own email address where you not have to worry about any changes that Apple may make. Oh boy, I tell you, the language in the .com address, .com case is heating up. Check this out. This doesn't bode well for the United States. U.S. is the enemy, says .com judge. The judge, due to hear Kim.com's extradition case, has referred to the United States as, quote unquote, the enemy in a discussion about copyright law. Wow. Now, this judge, David Harvey, has heard parts of the case against Mega Upload founder, who was arrested, of course, in January. Judge Harvey is not due to hear the InterMogul's extradition case till next year, but he did make his views on copyright known during the launch of the Fair Deal campaign last week. I said that was something that was happening in New Zealand. So essentially, the campaign in New Zealand is opposing changes to New Zealand's copyright law. Guess who it's backed by? Of course, all the regular characters are out there. The negotiations for this Fair Deal campaign are being held in secret. And we know that the entertainment industry is pushing for stronger copyright versions. Currently in New Zealand, if you have a DVD that came from the United States and you have to hack your DVD player so it will play that DVD, you can do so without, quote unquote, getting any trouble. But with these new rules, that are being suggested, the codes would basically, you'd make it illegal to change a DVD player to play a different country code. So there's a lot of people not happy about that. Understand that. It says under TPP and the American Digital Millennium Copyright provisions, you will not be able to do a lot of things that you can do today that will be prohibited, and you will be a criminal. So he is not mincing any words. Makes me wonder how that's going to turn out for that case. Now, in the United States, the feds have basically told a Virginia judge that a long list of American connections make mega uploads subject to U.S. criminal law. The Friday court filing was a response to the company's argument that its lack of a U.S. mailing address makes it immune to criminal prosecution in the United States. Mega upload points to federal law requiring the notice of corporate indictment be served on an officer of the corporation sent to the corporation's last known U.S. address. It is argued that since it doesn't have a U.S. address, it cannot be included. The feds are saying that mega uploads shouldn't be allowed to escape U.S. jurisdiction on a technicality. Well, isn't that how murderers and rapists and all these people that probably should be behind bars get off on technicalities? You know, a technicality is what? Not being read your rights by a police officer? That's a technicality, right? If they don't read you your rights, your Miranda rights, and you are you talk to them and share, any of that stuff you share can be thrown out, and you likely are going to walk. So I think it's interesting that the United States is saying that mega uploads shouldn't be allowed to escape U.S. jurisdiction on a technicality. They're admitting it's a technicality. Says, even though the locker site has never maintained an office in the U.S., says it has extensive American connections. Most obviously, the firm had hundreds of servers in the United States. It makes use of American financial service companies such as PayPal. It has numerous American customers. But, you know, I could say the same thing about, we have customers that use our services from all over the world, but I don't have an office in those countries. So we'll see where this goes. They go on to say, and even the company is not currently subject to U.S. jurisdiction, the government argues there's no time limit for serving papers on Mega Upload. Therefore, it argues the court can put the case against Mega Upload on hold until Kim.com is extradited to the United States. Then the government can personally serve papers on .com as a representative of Mega Upload. Well, here's the deal. search and seizure, according to New Zealanders, was illegal. A judge has already ruled that. Okay. Number one, they took hard drives back to the United States illegally. Number two, now they want to charge him and extradite him based on stuff that they found at his home and extradited him with? Try to extradite him with that info? Huh. I think they're in trouble, to be honest with you. We'll see where this goes. Now, the judge is going to consider Megapolo's argument for dismissal and the government's counterargument at a hearing in Virginia on July 27th. So right around the corner here. When they will rule, I don't know. Time will tell. But it's quite the mess. Hey, over on Gizmodo, Dave Weiner, who invented the blog. Yes, Dave Weiner is not only, in my opinion, to be recognized as being part of the podcasting movement, being a co-owner of the title Podfather. Some would argue that. Dave Weiner's also invented the blog and RSS. So pretty strong credentials, even though Dave says some things from time to time that just is off the chart in my opinion. But he does go into how he basically started a blog and how this basically transpired. And he uses an outliner. He's a big outliner guy. And and I understand his methodology for using what he uses. And he blogs at his website with an outliner. But he goes into a story here. It's an interesting read. And but anyway, it's getting credit where credit's due. And so I think it's pretty set of credentials. He's had a positive impact on the web. And good read here on Gizmodo. Hey, those of you in the UK, hey, this is big. This is big. Here's a quiz we're going to start off with, and for all of you, what's public and private at the same time? All right. The answer is scientific research. Specifically, large amounts of scientific work is funded by either the U.S. government or the British government, yet those results often end up hidden behind paywalls. Now, we've all talked about this here in the United States a lot. And this announcement that was made today by Science Minister David Willetts said that the new system that's going to be implemented in 2014 says that essentially open access, and where that means is unfettered availability to research that's funded by the public purse. And so a movement by the people have won a significant victory, and it's going to make open access a condition of any public funding in the future. Says removing paywalls that surround taxpayer-funded research will have real economic and social benefits. It will allow academics and businesses develop and commercialize their research more easily and herald a new era of academic discovery. This development will provide exciting new opportunities and keep the UK at the forefront of global research to drive innovation and growth. I think what we all should do is I think we should all applaud. Because this is big. This is huge. You know, all this money that the government spends with companies, I mean, with colleges, that basically, and even research firms, if you're going to give money to someone to do academic research, you know, that should be in the public domain. This is fantastic. It really, really is. We've talked about ResearchGate as well in the past, but this is big, and I'm sure many scientists are going to welcome this announcement. And you know, and here's the thing, you know, the scientists that do this research, they put these papers together, they put them on behind these paywalls. Currently, they have to pay to get access to their own writings, and this is awesome. This really is a stake in the heart for Reed Elsevier. You know, Elsevier is huge in this big paywall for scientific documents and, you know, when you do your master's degree. I'm having a brain fart here. It'll come to me in a second. Long story short, all that stuff's locked behind a paywall, and in the UK, no longer it will be. Now, some of the stuff will, because not everything is obviously funded by some of it's done by private companies. So I'm sure that will remain behind the firewall, but at least it's a start. All right, cord cutters. You can use Chrome as your Google TV remote. So I have a link in the show notes on that. You can check that out. Also, I found a new site today that is a great gadget website. It's called The Wire Cutter over at thewirecutter.com. Lots of cool reviews. So it's not necessarily a blog, but it's basically a review of all cool gadgets. And written by a well-known blogger. So very, very good. Article on this new hack that's out there. You guys heard about this? Apple's trying to kill what's been is known in circles right now as the free in-app purchase and iPhone and iPad hack. This is big. So what happens is, and I'm going to have to put the link up in the show notes. You guys will check it out. Is that essentially you go get an app, and then you know how they try to get you to buy stuff in there. You know, buy, you know, some of those games, you buy gold or you buy, you know, shortcuts or whatever it may be. Well, there's a hack available that basically lets you buy anything you want without paying for it. All right, I'm not telling you to go out there and do this because Apple is obviously going to be looking at this close. And anytime there's fraudulent type of activity like that, if they can trace it back and figure it out, it's not going to be pretty. But a Russian hacker has basically found a way around everything, and he has been able to buy lots of stuff in app without spending a penny. And there's a YouTube video on what he's done, and it's boy oh boy. Free in-app purchases for every iDevice. So this will not last long. Apple will get this shut down in a hurry, but as of this moment, it is still a wide open bug. Okay. You know, cameras are a passion of mine right now. You know, I spend a lot of money on pro cameras. I've spent this year, we're trying to downsize some of our cameras, and I've been testing a few. But a recent contest, a shootout, Francis Ford Coppola and a majority of other folks prefer the Panasonic GH2 over cameras that cost as much as $60,000. So this is a $700 camera, folks. All right, that's what the body cost. The GH2 is, these guys are like talking huge about this particular camera and lots of positives. So this is big. I mean, I'm pretty surprised. And basically it was a, you know, they shot some video and, you know, this went up against the F-65. You know, that Sony F-65 is like, whoo, that's a camera. The FS-100 is huge, but, you know, they went through and had like this blind grading, and the GH2 won big. So if you're looking for a camera, and this might be one to look at. Again, it's a DSLR. And you have to get the lenses for it, of course. And that probably drives, basic camera drives you up to about $1,500. But I have a link up in the show notes for you to check this out. I was pretty shocked, and I'm going to have to dig into this one a little bit more. All right, many of you have been suffering through heat wave after heat wave. I was talking with my mom today. It was 101 degrees in Michigan today. And, you know, the basically drought is an effect. And here's some advice from me. The price of groceries are going to go up. There is a horrible drought happening across the country. There's going to be shortages this year on the amount of corn, soybeans, wheat, everything that needs water to grow that feeds this country. There's going to be issues. So the price of, and then it's not like we're going to starve, but there's going to be major shortages and basically the prices are going to be through the roof. So because of this heat, it's affecting power companies' ability to generate enough power, because all of you are basically cranking your ACs all the way to cold, and you've got them up on high, and you're not going outside your houses. You're turning on your Xboxes and your big screen TVs, and you're hanging out in your houses when people are normally out and about this time of year. So what's going on is the power companies, in order to make sure they get enough power to the grid, will start stepping down the voltage. And to do that, they can do that to a certain point without tripping your UPSs and so forth. But if you're in an area that has massive heat waves right now, I'm going to just give you some warnings that don't keep everything plugged in, okay? Because this is a time when brownouts can happen, when surges can happen. If they're lowering, all of a sudden you see less performance on your computer. It could be because the power is being adjusted. If you hear your UPSs start to trip from time to time, start beeping at you, then come back online. Get your majority of your stuff, just keep it unplugged that you worry about blowing up, okay? Because they will, in order to basically avert brownouts, they'll lower the voltage little by little to a point where it's going to trip something, but not quite. I'm going to tell you something. I read an article today, and this is one that most of you could care two hoots about, but it was over on Futurity, FUTURITY.org. And I was amazed. And let me just talk about this is, you know, amplifiers. Anytime you have an amplifier, whether it be for a radio, for a television, and basically an RF amplifier, something that's in path from an antenna, the amplifier always has a certain amount of noise associated with it. So when I read today that scientists have developed a new type of amplifier for boosting signals that has no noise, this is incredible. And this is beyond incredible, because all amplifiers have always had, again, a certain amount of noise, but this new amplifier is so precise that the only noise it produces is the unavoidable noise caused by the jiggling of atoms and waves according to the laws of quantum mechanics. And this is huge. I mean, this is a big, big deal. Because if you basically what they do is they measure noise by dB, and an amplifier will have a certain noise floor across a certain band. And I'm not going to go any deeper, because then it's just going to get into real technical stuff and you need all kinds of test equipment to be able to measure this type of a signal, specifically the noise figure. But when I read this today, I was just like, holy smacks, this is big. It's come out of Caltech, and I'm going to be looking for more information on this, but they're going to use this in satellites. And essentially, you know, what this really means is that you put this amplifier, you attach it to an antenna, right? So you got the antenna, you got the amplifier, and what happens is now only thing you're amplifying is the pure reception that the antenna gets. There's no intermixing of harmonics. There's not anything that can give a false reading from the noise within the actual amplifier itself. This is big, 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 big. And so this is cool. And I think if these guys don't have a patent on this, I'll be surprised. But there's more details on it in the Nature Physics at nature.com. So anyway, those of you that are junkies out there, electronic junkies, you guys are going to know what I'm talking about here. The rest of you are like, who cares? Move on. But definitely check it out. Hey, good news. And I want to talk a little bit, just a quick article on health here. The FDA has approved the first pill to reduce chance of HIV. So this is big. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration announces approval of the first drug shown to reduce the chances of HIV infection in high-risk individuals. Those are unaffected and are sexually active with HIV-infected partners. The drug called Truvada is manufactured by San Francisco area biotech Gilead Science and is taken as a daily oral pill. So this is big. This is really, really big here. This is adds some serious protection for folks out there. And I don't know how they're going to distribute this and what it's going to be, what the rules are going to be on how it's going to be prescribed. But they did two clinical trials in nearly 2,500 men with high-risk behavior. And it reduced the risk of infection by 75%. Doesn't completely eliminate the risk, but it reduced it. So this is big. This is a step in the right direction. All right, moving on here. Guys, you know, I have a rule. When my wife goes on travel, If the kids are here, we take one plate, one fork, one knife, one spoon, and basically a spatula and something to flip burgers with. And that's, or a spatula and something to scoop something. You know what I mean? That's all we put out. That's the utensils we use. And we basically close the cabinet doors. Besides getting cups out, that's all we use. Well, there's a click and cook modular spatula. And I know the ladies will not like this at all. But fellas, those of you that are bachelors out there, I'm sure you're going to appreciate this. Basically, one handle serves them all. And you got a nice little rack to put these in. And there's a rack for every occasion here. I don't have a price on these things, but you get 5 detachable spatula heads for various cooking needs. And so this is fantastic. Oh, anything less to wash, the better, right? Less things you have to run through the dishwasher. Actually, that's another thing, too. You just wash the stuff in the sink when you're dealing with the minimum amount of dishes. A good article by Andrew here, Nothing to Hide, Nothing to Fear, talks about some stuff going on in Britain. He says, if you've nothing to hide, then you've nothing to fear is often trotted out in the debate around privacy and secrecy. Specifically, it seems reasonable, but even with a modicum of critical thinking, the adage becomes trite and flawed. However, even if you did believe that nothing to hide, nothing to fear was reasonable, then the latest report from the British 2011 Allen Report of Interception of Communications Commissioners ought to give food for thought. Says, in 2011, the total number of lawful interception warrants in the UK was 2,911. And this all seems quite reasonable given the population of the UK's 60 million people. However, in amongst the successful security operations, we also find that the security and associated agencies made 42 mistakes, usually through typographic errors. In all instances, the errors were discovered before the intercept took place. And communication data requests cover information about communications, mainly subscriber data, service use data, traffic data, and that type of stuff. Said there was 494,078 data requests in 2011, 11% decrease in the previous year. So he goes on to say, if you think that because you have nothing to hide and you have nothing to fear, think again. You've everything to fear, from the transposed digit, the wrong postcode lookup, and the minimum wage flunky copying, pasting the wrong records. Probably not what you're worried about at all, but just a heads up that they are out there and making mistakes and basically collecting information on folks in the UK that they weren't supposed to, even though small percentages. We had some great articles on GNC this past 2 or 3 days. We had an article about Skytex and the problems with cheap Android tablets that was written by Alan. We talked about Motorola ICS tweet failure that was by Andrew. We had a Lego bridge article by Andrew. And we had a GPS recalculating article by Jen at GNC. Definitely check all the articles out at geeknewscentral.com. If you've got an article you want to suggest or think something we should cover or give insight to, definitely send me an email here at geeknews@gmail.com. Same thing goes with coverage of the show. If there's something you want me to cover, just email me. I'd be happy to put it in the stack and cover. Hey, congratulations to Marissa Mayer, the new chief executive officer at Yahoo. She has she was one of the first 20 employees at Google. So she obviously cashed out and did well there from a stock perspective. But she is now the chief executive officer. This is a big move, big pick by Yahoo. I've seen nothing negative about this today. So this is big. She used to have the role of VP of local maps and location services. And she plans to assume the role tomorrow, for those of you listening today. And but this is big. Lots of positive things being said about her. So we'll see how she comes in, cleans house, and changes things. It's going to be a fun show to watch. All right, Microsoft Office Home and Student 2013 to be bundled on all Windows RT tablets. So that's good news for those of you that are getting Windows RT tablet. That's going to be built in. Article on SpaceSide. It appears that the Mars rover landing, the actual success or failure of that, will be delayed by a couple of minutes, largely because they're having issues out there with a satellite that's the Mars Observer that is basically in orbit. And they've had some issues with gyros and so forth. They don't think they can reposition the satellite in time to be in a position to catch the reentry live. The reentry is going to happen as scheduled, but the reconnaissance orbiter will not be in a right position. So it'll be a few minutes late, and to relay the what happened during the actual landing. So they're hoping to get the satellite back up in complete working order, but doesn't think it's going to happen before the landing. There was a Soyuz launched to the International Space Station. So basically, we got three new crewmen headed there. On board is Soyuz Russian cosmonaut Yuri Malenchenko, American astronaut Sunita Williams, and Japanese astronaut Akihiko Hoshida. So they're going to dock at 12:52 Eastern Daylight Time on Tuesday. So very early tomorrow morning. You know, I grew up in Michigan. I haven't lived there, of course, in many, many years. And I talked to you in past when I went through Detroit the last time. I was really devastated by how bad Detroit looked in certain sections. And it seems to be a lot of photogs are having a lot of fun recording this history and, you know, getting these great shots of buildings that are falling in on themselves. But they call it urban ruin porn. And there's a dedicated genre for it now. And, of course, Detroit has gotten a huge amount of it. So what they're doing now is a YouTube user is flying a drone in and around ruins, abandoned homes and factories. And he's taken some incredible video. So it's an interesting video. I'll let you guys watch. It starts off in a nice park and ends up somewhere else. So I'll have a link up in the show notes for you to check out. If any of you live in Detroit, I apologize, but I'm just amazed at how bad it really is. It's not a good situation. The Air Force has produced a guide for military tweeters. And they released a 41-page guide to effective social media. Again, it was put out by the Air Force Public Affairs Agency and was released in March by the Air Force Public, again, and it was made available for public download yesterday. And it gives a lot of insight to bloggers and tweeters and stuff, what to do, what not to do. And, of course, there was 21 links to operational security issues as well, and basically not breaking OPSEC. So I think that's probably more what it's designed for, to remind the airmen that, hey, you're going to be tweeting out there. Be careful what you're saying. All right, looks like we're going to run long again tonight. Got lots of great work. I don't know if we talked about this already, but the FDA has apparently spied on emails to try to silence critics. What began as a narrow investigation of the possible leaking of confidential agency information by five scientists quickly grew in mid-2010 into a much broader campaign to counter outside critics of agency's medical review process, according to the cache of more than 80,000 pages of computer documents generated by the surveillance effort. Moving to quell what one memorandum called the collaboration of the FDA's opponents, the surveillance operation identified 21 agency employees, congressional officials, outside medical researchers, and journalists thought to be working together to put out a negative and defamatory information about the agency. So they basically installed keylogger software on computers of their own scientists, tracked the personal emails they wrote to others, and tracked documents they copied to key drives. So, you know, they're working for the government. This is something they say that, hey, we acknowledge that our stuff could be watched. But some people are saying the FDA probably went a little bit too far. Well, I know that when I was still in the Navy, every time I logged into a government system, there was this big warning. You can and will be monitored at will. And so I don't think this comes as a surprise, but it's interesting to see what the FDA did to try to calm the negativism that was being said about them in the press and so forth. All right, over on Tech Dirt, Olympics can't hire enough actual security, but it's fully staffed with brand police. So they have 300 enforcement officers will be across the country checking firms to ensure that they are not staging ambush marketing or legal associating themselves with the games at the expense of official sponsors such as Adidas, McDonald's, Coca-Cola, and BP. Wearing purple caps and tops, experts in training and advertising working for Olympic Delivery Authority are headed to the biggest brand protection operation stage in UK. Under legislation specifically introduced for the London Games, they have the right to enter shops and offices and bring court action with fines up to £20,000. But apparently they're having trouble hiring enough security people to actually protect the folks going to the games. Makes me kind of go, Hey, we're right around the corner here. Apple's Mountain Lion, it could be coming as early as Wednesday of next week. So Apple Mountain Lion may be out on the 25th. Currently, there's an all-night event at the Apple stores on the 24th, which means probably the software will be released the following morning. All right, I've been checking out some chairs. And I think it's time to upgrade the chair that I've got here in the studio. It's served me well for quite a while, but I think it's just time to refresh. And I've been looking around, and I found what's called this Stig chair. And I thought, that's pretty cool. This chair's almost like something out of Batman or something. And when I read the price, though, I about had a heart attack. This chair is 11 grand. I'm thinking to myself, this thing better massage my butt for 11 grand. The exotic $11,000 seat. Designed by Verassi Design, sits at 52 by 23 by 39 inches and consists of stainless steel, yellow pine, and deer leather for the ultimate in high-performance sports luxury furniture. Additionally, the supporting frame contains recycled steel pipe from the frames of previously crashed NASCAR stock cars. Okay, it's got shock absorbers and all kinds of stuff. 11 grand? Oh, this is not the type of chair I'm going to buy. And it's got a place to look like to hook up hydraulics so you can control up and down. It's got places to have lag bolts to lag it to the floor. Even if it's got deer leather on the side, I could care less. 11 grand. Do people actually have that much money to spend that type of money on ridiculous items like this? If you've got $11,000 to buy one of these chairs, you darn well better be an insider of this show because you can afford to be an insider. I guess 2% of Americans trust everything on the web. A survey performed on half of Manix, a community for business answers, said that 98% of people distrust information they find online and the other 2% trust everything. I think that was within the margin error of the actual survey. Now, it's even been hot here in Hawaii, and I found some new clothes wear that I'm thinking this might be the case. Now, I don't know if I can afford it or not. I don't even know if I can pronounce the company's name. So I'm going to try Kucho Fuku. K-U-C-H-O-F-U-K-U. Definitely Japanese word. Kuchu. It sounds like I'm saying something naughty. These air-conditioned pants are perfect for the summer. You can buy air-conditioned jacket or an air-conditioned pants. These are $186 for the coat and $206 for the pants. It's powered by a rich ion battery. And the clothes are made of 65% polyester and 35% cotton. The air-conditioned cooling pants are available in a variety of sizes. And, of course, they've got a variety of colors. Simple green is a natural color that they're recommending. You would not catch me, please, an air-conditioned clothes, it looks like a fan. It doesn't look like it's actually an AC unit. Simply crazy. It really is. Hey, TechCrunch has got an article, allegations of Kickstarter is hiding data about failed projects. So some people are saying that they're hiding actual results. And this is an interesting discussion. You know, I don't think that, you know, I think what Kickstarter is doing a good job. But it says, according to Kickstarter, 44% of projects successfully funded. But that percentage doesn't tell you whether the project creators actually deliver on what they promise. So here's some stats. 9 out of 10 failed projects did not reach even 30% of their funding goal. 97% of failed projects did not even reach 50% of their funding goal. 1 out of 4 successful projects raised 3% or less of their funding goal. 2 out of 4 successful projects raised only 10% of their goal. Less than 5%, your overall chance of not being succeeding, but doubling your overall chance of not just succeeding, but doubling your funding goal is less than 5%. The average failed project receives $900 in pledges versus a successful project of $7,825. Now, the project I have thinking I'm going to do, that I've been working on, my goal is to raise 10 grand, but I just don't, I'm looking at this, I'm saying, well, maybe my plan should be like 5 grand if the average is 7,825. But then again, if I reach the goal and we raise more, then it's all good. But then again, is 5 grand enough to pay for what I want to do for the project? That's the second question. Is it worth to do the work that I would need to do? Anyway, so lots of things to consider before doing a Kickstarter. So anyway, there's a good info link here. Talks about who's done the best, who's done the worst, where's a good place to have a Kickstarter and all this stuff. So I'll save that for you. It'll be up in the show notes. Pretty good to read and a nice infographic. Did you hear about this super laser that did a 500 trillion watt laser shot? So this is big. It reached 1.85 megajoules of UV laser. You know, in the United States, 500 terawatts is more than 1,000 times as much power as consumed in the United States at any instant. But this laser creates power outputs of around 100 times any other laser regulatory produces today. So what they do is how they get away with this is it's only on for like a microsecond, and each shot only costs like 20 bucks to do. So it's not like they're using all that power, because if they tried, the whole doggone country would go dark, because it would just kill everything or kill that grid area. But anyway, they are doing some pretty cool shots, and it's all about learning about fusion and trying to come up with energy that is efficient than oil, essentially. Antitrust ruling says Microsoft didn't kill WordPerfect, Novell did. Can you believe this? After all these years, Microsoft and Novell are still fighting over what went wrong with WordPerfect. Let's be honest. They didn't keep up. You know, the delayed release of WordPerfect was, you know, killed them. Because, you know, what came in behind it? Word. Let's just be straight. And of course, you needed a book this thick to remember how to use all the commands in WordPerfect. Gosh, I hated that. Please never, ever let me have to use some type of word processor like that ever again. All right, LinkedIn has rolled out a new revamped homepage. So if you haven't been over there, check that out. If you're using Skype, be aware that there's a glitch now that may send a message to the wrong contact. So be careful what you're sending over Skype. There should be a fix for that here soon. T-Mobile has officially confirms that the Samsung Galaxy Note is going to be coming to T-Mobile in weeks. This is actually the cell phone I'm thinking about getting. The Galaxy Note. I was just impressed by the big screen. Waiting to see if there's going to be a new version of this, but that's the phone that's really at the very high of my really kind of want list. And finally tonight, huge Arizona solar panel farm, now 2/3 complete. This thing's amazing. And it's just the amount of money they're spending is amazing too. But this will be easily seen from space. Basically, what they've done here is they're now generating 200 megawatts of solar power, and they're going to provide up to 290 megawatts when completed. The project is being funded by a $967 million loan guarantee from the Department of Energy, as well as equity from owners NRG Energy and Mid-American Solar, which is basically a fund owned by Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway. So this is huge. It's really huge. Now, hopefully this one's more successful than some of those other DOE loans that have went south. All right, let me go ahead and get into the emails. I don't know how much we had come into the show. And let me load that real quick here. I want to thank Andrew said, hey, Todd, I think this is how we're going to solve the healthcare crisis. So let me load this. And this is from Sony. What do we got here, Andrew? Oh, I seen some stuff like this at CES. And what this is, oh, I'm getting audio from the, this thing's playing a video. So let me, what it is, let me bring it up. It's a robot that basically, a remote HD IP camera system that enables physicians to communicate, observe, improve workflow, and gain remote visual auditory access. Basically, your doctor's sitting somewhere and the nurse rolls this thing around. I actually saw one that was better. I saw one that actually the doc drove. And he could go from room to room, didn't need anybody. And it rolled into a room, it recognized what room it was in, and the doc started seeing all the EKG and all the oxygen levels and blood pressure and all that stuff came up on his monitor. And as soon as he left the room, all that stuff dropped off. And if there was an emergency in a room, he could actually come to the room and direct nurses if they were doing life-saving techniques. So this is basically a way to let physicians, and here's what's going to happen, Andrew, on this. You're going to have, who knows where your doctor is going to be? And then he's going to be, that's, you know, I could really be bad here. I'm not going to do it. But some doctors, I just leave it as this. Let's just put it this way. The doctors could be outsourced from any country in the world, right? And then again, don't get me wrong, I had terrific healthcare when I was in Bahrain. My doctor was fantastic. They took care of me better when I was in Bahrain when I got hurt in 2004 than I was taken care of when I came home to Triple Armory Medical Center. So, you know, don't get me wrong, a lot of foreign doctors are good, but you can almost be guaranteed if they're going to have one of these robot things or one of these HD IP camera systems that allow physicians not to be right there in the room, you're going to have doctors outsourced all over the world that are going to use this thing. I got another link here from Andrew. He says, hey, helps all of them. Really enjoyed the article on the million plus year hard drive that Alan wrote. He says, I just know this article on the Boeing 787 Dreamliner being outfitted with Android. Yep, we covered that in the last show. Thanks for that. Got an email here from Christopher. He says, hey, Todd, you mentioned that you were able to look up to see if you or a family member's password amongst the exposed from Yahoo. How or where exactly can I check to make sure my accounts were not amongst those that were victimized? Thanks, Chris. Chris, if you go to gncshownotes.com, you look for the Yahoo article that I had linked, and within that article is a link to the list. That's probably the best way I can tell you to find it, or just do a Google search, Yahoo hack passwords. I'm sure it'll take you right there as well. Got an email here from Tim. He says, hey, Todd, I think this guy's had just about enough of the airlines and TSA. And, of course, this was the gentleman that took off in the tandem lawn chair. Well, you guys heard that they only made it about 30 miles. And when they landed their lawn, when they got out of their lawn chairs, the thing took off. They don't know where it's at. So some airliner 2 weeks from now is going to run into this stupid thing. And then these guys are going to be held accountable for killing a bunch of people. Yep, this guy's lawn chair is still on the move someplace. Okay. I think, and Jim, yeah, we talked about Dig on the last show. Did you listen to the whole show? I covered it. I sure did. I got an email here from Joe, and I want to read this, and I think this will finish it out for tonight. Todd, I recently finished recording episode 20 of the Two Rambling Idiots podcast and got a huge appreciation for the work you go through to produce GNC. As you remember, my host Kevin and I use GNC as a sort of template for Trip. One of the biggest diversions from the template was using Tuhost. It allows us to provide some lively discussions about the tech news. For episodes 19 and 20, Kevin was on vacation. I recorded my own. He's doing 21 himself, and I'm out this week. I produced a couple of the first episodes by myself, but this time around was different. I had forgotten just how much I had to put into it while balancing all of my other priorities in my life. We usually go a little over an hour with the two of us, but I struggled to stretch the show to 19 to 30 minutes. I got to 20 up to about 45 with no problem, but a lot more prep work. Todd, I have no idea how you manage to do two shows a week. I'm sure after 781 shows, it's more habit now than effort, but I know what really goes into your show prep. I want to say thank you for providing all of us listeners with a consistent quality product, for putting forth rather involved, and for bringing it to us twice a week. Thank you for also getting me interested in podcasting and allowing us to use GNC as a springboard. Keep up the good work. Hardly seems appropriate to end with, how about we appreciate all your efforts to bring us a consistent quality family-friendly podcast and hope we can enjoy the continued contributions for many more episodes. Sincerely, Joe. Joe, I love doing this show. I love bringing it to you. And really, the prep is what it is. It is prep. You have to do the prep to do the show. And yes, after 782 shows, I do have a process that I work through. But I've kind of decided the show is going to be what the show is. The length is going to be what it is. I was working real hard to keep it shorter. And it's really not changed the show. So I'm just going to do what I want to do and have fun. And when it's shorter, it's shorter. When it's longer, it's longer. And just try to keep the consistency up. And it's not always going to be perfect. That's for sure. And I'm going to continue to have Toddisms and destroy the English language and trip on myself and get some articles wrong. That's what you guys are there for, is to keep me square. And I appreciate that very, very much. Okay, got an email from Ross. He says, I get the phone calls from people posing as Microsoft tech support all the time. I know it's a scam, but I play along. Now they have a new scam. On the Mac, they had me go to Secure Me, which took me to a login to sign in on a sign-in sheet. This is when I told them no way and beep, 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 but I gave them full control of my computer. I should have stayed until I got the access key and passed on tech support it logged me in. I know your users are smart enough not to fall for this, but there has to be people following it. Ross in St. John's, Newfoundland, Canada. Ross, it scares me that you're playing along with these folks. Don't ever go to one of their websites. Don't. Tell them you're there and don't go there. Because just by going there, they could be dropping something on your machine. Please be careful. And this is new to me. I didn't know that that was a big scam on people playing tech support to try to get information. That's it. I'm going to rock and roll out of here. Everyone, thanks. We're super long tonight, but it is what it is, right? And I hope you enjoyed the show. Send your comments, geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Reach me on Twitter @geeknews. And of course, the show hotline is 619-342-7365. It's been my pleasure. Please support our sponsors. They help us keep the lights on here. Definitely check out GoDaddy.com and our $495.com deals. That's the best you're going to find in this space. Get three by using promo code 495GEEK. Of course, don't forget to use all my promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We got a code for every occasion. Thanks, everyone. Take care. We'll see you next time. And aloha.